The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Ken and I were having lunch. I had met Ken while I was going to graduate school in Vancouver. He was a rural Saskatchewanite. And as we were having lunch, he told this story that has stuck with me ever since. When he was in high school, he worked at the local burger stand in this little town he grew up in. And he would go back occasionally and visit family and would always touch base with the owner of the hamburger stand. And on one of his visits, he looked, and there had been a display, and a lot of places have these displays where they have the size of cups. And all the time he worked there, the cups were labeled small, medium, and large, and the corresponding price. Well, one year he went home, and he looked, and they were labeled medium, large, and extra large, and the corresponding increased price. The issue that Ken had with him, Ken was just such a student and lover of language, that he looked at that and went, "But the cups were the same. You could even see the stains of the years. There was dust on the cups. But the signs had changed and the prices had changed. What we call something is important. What we call something is sometimes manipulative." It's really what advertising is based on, right? Propaganda and manipulation. On the belief that we, the public, are, well, stupid. They label things certain way, they present things certain way, and we go, "Oh, no. My life is so incomplete until I get whatever it is." This parable is traditionally called the parable of the sower. Most Bibles that have section titles will call it the parable of the sower. Now, it's important, of course, that Jesus didn't say, didn't label all of his parables. Somebody goes back and does that. The editors of Bibles. Sometimes those labels are given because, well, you always give first preference to God. Now, I've talked before, and this is another one of those parables, and we'll get to this in a minute, where it's so easy to populate the parable really quick. The sower is God, the seed is the word, the soil is us. And in this case, Jesus, you know, seems to bear that out. Kind of. The problem, of course, is that sometimes we populate the parable wrong. Our biggest mistake is usually where we cast ourselves and where we cast those that we don't have a preference for. The other problem, of course, is that how we label the parable and how we populate the parable reflects then how the parable is then celebrated, declared, or in many cases, weaponized. The parable of the sower could easily be called the parable of the seed or the parable of the soils, probably more appropriate. It could also be called the parable of the really foolish sower, parable of the bad sower, the inefficient sower, or on the other hand, the extravagantly generous sower. It may be good that Jesus generally didn't name his parables. There's a section that doesn't get read, the middle section between the parable and the interpretation. And it talks a little bit about, you know, the disciples go to Jesus and say, why do you talk in parables? Just tell us. And Jesus gives this odd reply. He speaks in parables, so those who have ears to hear will hear and understand, and those who don't won't. Well, hang on. What if there are those who really want to understand and don't get it? You know, are they just simply, you know, out of luck? I read a scholar this week. Well, actually, it doesn't matter that they're a scholar, but if I call them a scholar, you pay more attention. I don't know that they're a scholar, actually. They got it in print. That's really easy to do. But they raised a point that I love these, right? I'd never thought of this before. And that is, Jesus had a collection of stories, of parables, that he used at various times. When Jesus tells the parable here, it may not be the first time, and it may not be the last time he told the parable. The parables are kind of elastic. They can apply to a number of different situations. It all depends on how Jesus interprets them. In this case, for this audience, it's really about the receptivity of the soils. In another situation, it might be about the seed. Because if we just take the parable, the sower could be sowing us, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And so we're the seed. In that case, the sower isn't generous, he's reckless with us. Why would he throw us into thorn bushes? Well, in that situation, Jesus' interpretation may have been very different. But that Jesus had this collection of stories, I just think it's fascinating. So we have a sower, we have seeds, we have soil, and we have intervening characters. We have birds and thorns, all of which are doing, we should note, what they were created to do. A bird flying over a path and seeing seeds should eat the seeds. I mean, it's kind of what should happen. It's kind of how the bird is designed. You know, if you throw seeds into thorn bushes, the thorns are going to be thorny. Anything that grows is going to get thorned. It's what they were made to do. So we see how these parables are really spongy, really elastic. The issue I have in some ways with this parable and with not so much Jesus' interpretation, but the way that Jesus' interpretation is used, is that notion of weaponization, right? It's so easy to go to this parable and say, be good soil. If you're not receiving the word, if the word is not growing in you, it's your fault. It's not the preacher. It's not the preacher's interpretation of the story. It's not the, in some cases, denominational interpretation of the story. It's not the tradition of interpretation, which is basically, and this happened when I was in seminary. If I was doing an assignment on a passage, I read the passage. I read people who had talked about the passage. I read people who talked about the people who talked about the passage, and then I talked about the passage through the other people who had talked about the passage, who had talked about the passage. Oddly enough, when I was in seminary, a huge line of old white guys. So we get traditional interpretations, particularly of women in Scripture, that are horrible and not reflective of the passage at all. But sometimes that history of interpretation becomes the thing. It's very hard to go to a passage and read it fresh. You know, we take what we've been taught in Sunday school, what we've heard in church, what we've learned through our own Bible study, through, you know, books we've read, and it alters the more we take in, which is what we encourage you to do, right? Study your Bibles. Read books. Instruct yourself. Educate yourself. But what we're doing is we're complicating your life. It'd be much easier to say, if you hear an interpretation other than the interpretation you hear in this room, it's false. It happens all the time. I had somebody in my office a month or so, two ago. I'm not going to say which office. It's not important. But it was memorable because he referenced a name that I hadn't heard in a long time. And I don't know if you've heard the name of Herbert Armstrong. He had a radio ministry. There is a religious movement called Armstrongism. And his son, Garner Ted Armstrong, inherited the ministry. And then people within Armstrongism said he broke away into heretical fashion. On our side, what he did was, he said, you know, there's a lot of stuff we teach that isn't in the Bible. In some ways, seems quite orthodox, right? But this person said he thought that Herbert Armstrong was the last real prophet that the church had ever produced. Wow. That's a bold claim. Herbert Armstrong taught things like, when we get to heaven, the reason God created black people is so that we would have servants in heaven. What? He was also one of those people that taught that when we talk about the mark of Cain in the Old Testament, that that was the first time there were non-white people. What? So if that was, excuse me, boy, that's going to be interesting. If that was the last prophet, I don't know what to do with this person. They're at church quite regularly. I like them, you know, but now I cannot help but look differently at them. Think, I don't know about that. Here, Jesus really puts us as the soil. And even that is a little problematic, because many of the things that happen aren't our fault. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. Well, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's still things I read in the Bible and step back and think, what? I've said this before, I really thought that when I hit this age, more stuff would make sense. And you know what? No. Less and less and less makes sense. I don't throw the seed away. It gets snatched away from me. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Well, when persecution comes, when hardship comes, excuse me if it takes up some of my attention. I've had those times, and I, you know, some of you have told me, you know, the same in your own lives, that things occur and we think, is God on vacation? Is God home? Why is this happening? But there certainly have been sermons about these different kinds of soil that say, you're weak. And if it doesn't take root, again, it's your fault. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. The cares of this world. Are there not a few cares that we have on a kind of daily basis? But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit and yields, well, a lot. The sermon then ends something like, be good soil. I'd love to be good soil. I think it would be awesome to be good soil. However, you can't always manage it. So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? And then, as we kind of pull around full circle, there's the sower, the sower, the sower. I have, for most of my career, preached this as the parable of the extravagantly generous sower. Just gets out there and is just throwing seed in the hopes that, you know, it hits somewhere. The kind of tenacious, stubborn part of me really hangs on to that interpretation. You know, and what I picture is, there are people on the outskirts watching him sow going, ugh, what a loser. He paid all that money for that seed, and it's just flying around. All he's doing is feeding the thorns and feeding the birds. And yet he's still out there, just just thrown it. The opportunity may be that on the path, there's a spot that isn't quite as trod over. And maybe something takes root there. A spot that isn't quite as covered with thorns. Maybe. Just maybe. And the maybe is worth it. The seeds, if it's really that the message of the kingdom, is not a limited supply. It's like, it's one of my favorite memes on the interwebs. You know, love for you isn't less love for someone else. It's not pie. If somebody else receives love, it doesn't mean you receive less. It's not pie. There's not a limited storehouse of seed that the sower is pulling from. I like to think that when Jesus pulls this parable out at a different time, that's the story. That God is just wildly and maybe ill-advisedly generous. It'd be easy to say a smart sower would go to the good soil and just plant. But what if? What if? What if? There's that one spot. That spot that's in the shape of you. For me, that one spot where God says, you know what? I want seed to go there. So the parable of the sower, with all sorts of qualifiers and expansions on what a sower is, the parable of the seed, the parable of the soils, the general heading of the parable of what is going on here. In the midst of all of that, and somewhat against this particular interpretation that Jesus gives, I'd like to say, thank God for his generosity. Thank God for that what if being worthwhile. That the seed isn't tactically targeted, but wildly shared. Because maybe, just maybe, it's just what we're waiting for. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to know that I believe that the point of this parable is not to judge us as bad soil, but to declare to us that you are ill-advisedly generous. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Unless. You are also a God who climbed up on a cross that we might have life. So much of what you've done to show love to us has been ill-advised, has been silly. And yet, here we are, because of your silly generosity. Thank you. Thank you. That what if, just maybe, was enough for you. Amen.